Amen. Good evening, everyone. Good evening. It's lovely to be with you today. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Andy. So I was curate here between 2012 and 2016, before, like I say, being replaced by Kim. I'm currently now team vicar of St. John's and St. Luke's over the other side of town. Our strategy is to take one person at a time from St. Mark's and get them over to Bilton. So Emma's going to come and join us as our young people's worker soon. And I think you may feel called to tonight. Kim did ask why I'm here tonight. In fact, she said, what are you doing here tonight? And I didn't like to say it's to poach people from St. Mark's, but that is why I'm here. No, it's because Dan asked me to preach tonight. Now, the role of a preacher is to strike a balance between two poles. On one hand, it's invitation, and on the other, it's challenge. So the invitation to hear about God's kingdom, to hear that you are welcome and that you are loved, to receive forgiveness and to be part of God's family. And the challenge of living that life, of living as a forgiven person, as a follower of Jesus, the cost of following him and forgiving other people. So invitation and challenge. And my message tonight is very simple. It's not about the Passover. Got to be a bit worried there, Martin. We could weave it in some way. But my message is very simple. It's three words, and it's this. All are invited. All are invited. Invited. And if we're thinking about that poll, invitation and challenge, the invitation is this. It's quite simple. All are invited. And the challenge is this. All are invited. And that includes the people who rile us, the people who annoy us, the people we might disagree with, the people who just rub us up the wrong way, they are invited too. And I'd like to think that I've been well schooled in this since a very young age. When I was growing up, my parents would often invite, after church on a Sunday, this lady called Ida for Sunday lunch. And Ida was one of those people, bless her, who could turn even the most positive or joyful news into a grumble. In fact, she was one of the most competent groaners and mumblers that I've ever met in my life. Conversations would go something like this. She'd say, "Oh, lovely day, Ida." And she'd say, "Oh, about time. It's been a miserable week." And you'd say to her, "Well, it's nice to see some sunshine, isn't it?" And she'd say, "Well, the sunshine will get on my TV screen and it'll probably dry up my flowers." And then you'd say, "Oh, you've got some flowers, have you? That's nice. Who were they from?" And she'd say, "Oh, well, I don't even like chrysanthemums." And you'd be there thinking, in fact, me and my sister would be there at the table, kind of firing these looks at each other, like groaning at each other, while my parents would be there glaring at each of us and kind of giving that look of, "Don't you dare, do not dare." And then the same thing would happen a few weeks later. The whole charade would happen again. My mum might say, "Oh, Ida's coming for lunch today." And both of us would go, "Oh, no, not again." Now, it often strikes me that the people that Jesus spent time with and ministered to were, on the whole, people who, if you don't mind my language, were a pain in the arse. They were difficult people. They were the kind of people who you wouldn't want to be stuck in a lift with or sat next to, perhaps having a cup of tea or sat on the train with or having round for Sunday lunch. They were often complicated. They were needy. They were brash. They were ill-mannered. They were tiresome. Sometimes they were even just plain nasty. So take the two characters mentioned in our reading from Luke's Gospel. First, the blind beggar. Here's what we might call a have-not. He's totally reliant on other people, and there's no welfare state to look after him. And he's there by the roadside, begging, calling out for help. And he's on the edge of this place, Jericho. And Jericho is a God-forsaken place. It's this city upon which Joshua pronounced this solemn oath. Cursed before the Lord is the one who undertakes to rebuild this city, Jericho. Do you remember the story of Jericho? Perhaps from Sunday school, there's that song, wasn't there? Joshua fought the battle of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down. No, okay. Only me. Well, Joshua's curse continues. At the cost of his firstborn son, he will lay its foundations. At the cost of his youngest, he will set up its gates. So here we have a God-forsaken place that's synonymous with trouble. And if you've been there, even today, it's a really strange place. It's like a cowboy town. And it's in this place that Jesus meets the blind beggar and he calls out. Now, it doesn't take much imagination to see him there. Just picture yourself walking into town or walking into one of our cities, and you'll see him there, crouched up in a shopfront, huddled in a sleeping bag, perhaps calling out, "Can you spare some change?" And people, just like now, would have walked past, and maybe they'd have thought to themselves, "I wonder how he ended up there." Or perhaps they were thinking, "He probably brought it on himself." Now Jesus responds to this man and he cries for help. And he says to him, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" Now it might seem obvious. The blind man wants to be healed. But Jesus first asks him the question, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man says, "Lord, let me see again." And Jesus says, "Receive your sight." And then the story moves on very quickly and we meet another character. And again, it's in Jericho and again, it's in this God-forsaken place. Zacchaeus, or Zacchaeus, if you prefer. I think you can probably say it with a bit of a chach, Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector. And he's one of those people who's put money before everything else. He's chosen wealth over principles. He's a sellout. In today's context, I think who Zacchaeus would be this kind of character, a city boy. He's not a have-not, he is a have-yot. Sorry, I had to get that in. And yet he's totally transformed by this character, by this meeting with Jesus, this invitation to new life. Now, perhaps sometimes we might be guilty of thinking, you know, people who are wealthy, people with lots of money, perhaps they don't have any need for God. Well, Zacchaeus is a pure example of the great need that comes often from great wealth. When Jesus came to that place, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And that's everybody, because everybody is invited. Zacchaeus, the city boy, roadside beggars, Ida, even me, and even you. It's very simple, and it's very challenging. All are invited. Everyone. Here's a notice from a church outside in Wales, just as we come to a close. This was their welcome statement. It was up on the outside of their building. "We extend a special welcome to those who are single, married, divorced, gay, filthy rich, dirt poor. We extend a special welcome to those who are crying newborns, skinny as a rake, or could afford to lose a few pounds. We welcome you if you can sing like Pavarotti, or are like our vicar who can't carry a note in a bucket. You're welcome here if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of prison. We don't care if you're more Christian than the Archbishop of Canterbury or haven't been in church since Little Jack's christening. We extend a special welcome to those who are over 60 but not grown up yet, and to teenagers who are growing up too fast. We welcome Keep Fit Mums, Football Dads, Starving Artists, Tree Huggers, Latte Sippers, Vegetarians, Junk Food Eaters. We welcome those who are in recovery or still addicted. We welcome you if you are having problems, down in the dumps, or if you don't like organized religion. We've been there too. If you blew all your money on the horses, you're welcome here. We offer a welcome to those who think the earth is flat, those who work too hard, don't work, can't spell, or because grandma is in town and wanted to go to church. We welcome those who are linked, pierced, or both. We offer a special welcome to those who could use a prayer right now, had religion shoved down your throat as a kid, or got lost in the one-way system and wound up here by a mistake. We welcome tourists, seekers, and doubters, bleeding hearts, and you. Just as we draw to a close, I want to engage in an exercise of our imaginations. So I just invite you, if it's helpful, to close your eyes. And perhaps you struggle to know that you are accepted by Jesus, that you are invited. And perhaps in your imagination, just hear Jesus saying that to you. You are invited. You are welcome. You are loved. You are forgiven. And perhaps you don't have any problem with that. Perhaps you know that you're invited and loved and forgiven. Brilliant. Now I want you to think in your imagination the most annoying person you know, or the most difficult, those who you disagree with, those who just have the habit of rubbing you up the wrong way. And I want you to hold them in your imagination. And I want you to hear Jesus saying to that person, "You are invited. You are welcome. You are loved. You are forgiven." My final challenge to you tonight is to hold that person in prayer in this next week. And try and pray consistently for them, perhaps every day when you wake up or when you're going to sleep. Just hold them in your minds and pray for them, God's blessing upon them. Amen.